It's great to see everyone tonight. On Monday nights, there's a group of us from church that go to the university here at Western Sydney into the accommodation space, and we cook dinner every week for about 60 students. We have the time of our life doing that, right, for the people who are here. And do you know, just maybe a few weeks ago, maybe 6 weeks ago, there was an interesting conversation that I was part of. Just imagine with me for a moment, if you will, picture this discussion. There was a group, myself standing in that with about 6 or 7 students, and someone began to ask the question, would you lie to benefit yourself? It's a great question, isn't it? Would you lie to benefit yourself? And this student stood there and asked individually, each person around that circle, and people were very, very honest in their answers right at that time. Some were saying yes, others were saying no, and I was quite shocked, to be honest, at people's honesty right there in that spot. But then what happened was it led into other questions. What is a lie anyway? Maybe is a white lie okay? What about if you're lying to protect yourself? Is that okay? What about if your lie doesn't hurt anybody else? What about if my intentions and my motivations are all okay? Can I still lie? What would you do? Would you lie to benefit yourself? The discussion right there didn't really have a definitive conclusion and an end. But one of the students said, and this is what we all agreed on at that time, he said, a 3-year-old does not need to be taught how to lie. Correct? Children do not need to be taught how to lie. Usually, you've got to teach them how to tell the truth. And so what we see and understand by that is there is a human condition that affects all of us. All of us are born into that human condition, and we will do certain things whether we're 3 years old or whether we are 103 years old. There are things within us that is this human condition. And this condition within us, these natural leanings, these things that we want to do that we try not to do, the Bible calls that sin. And the thing is, it touches each of us absolutely without any exception. And the Bible tells us in Romans 3:22-23, it says, for there is no distinction among people, since all have sinned and continue to fall short of God's glory. There is within each of us this inherent inclination to live absolutely independently from God. And it affects all of us, regardless of our age, regardless of our gender, regardless of where we've been born, regardless of our social status, who we are. It's regardless of anything. For all of us, there is no distinction for all of us because we have all sinned. And we all fall short of God's glory. We fall short of His glorious standard. Now this week, Rob and I, we celebrated 31 years of being married. I'm telling you, Rob deserves a medal for that, okay? Has anyone here tried archery before? On, there's a couple of hands, I'm not sure if that's... On our honeymoon, there was archery available for us to do that. And so it was like, neither of us, do you remember, honey? See, it was such an event doing the archery, right? We're at Lindeman Island, which is part of the Whit Sundays in Queensland. And I remember having my eye on that target. I remember somebody trying to teach me how to hold that bow and how to hold that arrow. And I remember seeing that target, however far away that was. And I thought, I'm going to give it a good go. I'm going to give this a go. And what do you think happened? The arrow just dropped down to the ground. You know, it was like, what? I tried with everything within me and it fell short. It just dropped down to the ground. It had no speed. It had nothing about it that it was going to hit that target. At least Rob's from recollection actually went somewhere other than to the ground. But mostly when the Bible is talking about sin, it's actually giving us the imagery of missing the mark, like in archery, the target that is there. It's saying to us that sin is missing the mark of God. It is falling short of the glory of God. And so all of us, though, we have this issue for us in our life. And I love how relatable the Bible is for all of us. That it tells us in Romans chapter 7, I've summarized this a bit here, but from verses 15 to 19, the guy who wrote this wrote 2/3 of the New Testament. But when I read this, I see myself totally in this. And he says, I don't really understand myself. For I want to do what is right, but I don't do it. I do what I hate. I want to do what is good, but I don't. I don't want to do what is wrong, but I do it anyway. Is that just me? Anybody else have that feeling within themselves? We see here that Paul, all those thousands of years ago, had exactly the same struggle as what we have right here and right now. And he goes on to say, I love this. He says, oh, what a miserable person I am. Who will free me from this life that is dominated by sin and by death? Sometimes I feel like that. Why did I do that? I know that in me, I didn't really actually want to do it, but I still did it anyway. I know that it's wrong. But still, I ignored and still did it anyway. And then what happens is we start thinking to ourselves, I'm such a miserable person. I can't believe I did that again. And we're hard on ourselves in this way. That's why we feel miserable at times, because deep within us we have this conflict that's happening. We have an internal conflict within us and we miss the mark of God. And we fall short of the way that he wants us to live. The Bible tells us that there are consequences to sin. And actually those consequences are really severe and far-reaching. And it says in Romans chapter 5, verse 12, and when Adam sinned, sin entered the world. Adam's sin brought death. So death spread to everyone, for everyone sinned. So the price of sin is death. And that death, when the Bible is talking about that, is separation from God. Separation now and separation in eternity. External actions, we try to do things to be a good person, maybe we might live sound ethically and have fantastically moral lives in the way that we're living. We might study the inner depths of philosophy, or you might even maybe get yourself a little bit of religion. But do you know those things will not conquer that conflict that is within each of us? Colossians chapter 2 tells us, don't handle, don't taste, don't touch. Such rules are mere human teachings about things that deteriorate as we use them. These rules may seem wise because they require strong devotion, pious self-denial, and severe bodily discipline, but they provide no help in conquering a person's evil desires. Reflecting on the gravity of our sin is really important for us to do. That's the problem that we all have. But we don't want to live in that space, because the great thing is that that's the bad news, right? But there's good news. And this Friday is called what? Good Friday. It's called Good Friday for a good reason. As a church here for us, this year, the theme that we're focusing in on is that we want to see the world that we live in, that God's kingdom would be here on earth, and that that would happen through each and every one of us, so that we can worship God and adore Him with everything that is within us, and that our life would be a witness to people around us, that people around us would see us and go, I can tell that person has been with Jesus. I can tell that person worships Jesus, that they live a life that is for Jesus. We realize, though, that whether we're Christians or not Christians in the way that we live, we all sin. And we all don't have enough willpower. We all don't have enough good intentions. We all don't have enough good strength or motivation to not sin. God knew this, though. This is what I love. He knew this, and this is the good news. This is the Good Friday, the good news that we have. And the same writer who wrote about how he felt and did things that he didn't understand, he also says in Romans chapter 5, verse 8, but God proves His love for us, in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Here we see that God's love was enacted for each and every one of us, because He knew that we were unable, that we were powerless within ourselves to be able to reach His mark and not fall short of it. Let's just take that verse for a moment there in Romans, and think about it with your own name in there, Sonia. God proves His love for you in that while you were still a sinner, Christ died for you. That is not just for me. That's for each and every one of us that are sitting here tonight. Not when I was good enough did He die. Not when I was going, okay, I'm doing fantastic things, I look really awesome. That's not when. Christ died for each of us while we were still sinners. While I was a sinner and doing my own thing, while I was living my own life and being my own God, while I was ignoring God, while I was maybe even at times being angry at God or speaking out against God, Christ died for me while I was a sinner. Think through that for a moment. Jesus was spat on, the Bible tells us. It says that He was punched, that He was beaten, that He was mocked, that He was whipped 39 times. The Bible tells us that His beard was pulled out of His face, that a crown of thorns was pushed into His head, that He was then taken up on a hill to Golgotha, and He was nailed to a cross while we were still sinners, while people pulled the beard out of His face, Christ died for them. God showed His love for us, because you know what? I've been like those people at times. I've been like them, but while I was a sinner, love was demonstrated so incredibly. And I'm often amazed when I think through that time when Jesus was on the cross when he was paying for my sin and for your sin. I think about how through that time that enabled us to be reconciled and brought back into relationship with God. But while he was hanging on that cross, what incredible words did he call out? The Bible tells us in Luke 23 that Jesus, while he was on the cross, that he said, "Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they are doing." And the soldiers gambled for his clothes by throwing dice. What is Jesus doing in all of his pain, in all of his agony, as he's hanging on the cross? What does he do? He calls out, "God, forgive them. God, forgive Sonia." She doesn't know what she's doing. She doesn't realize the price is so high and so costly. She doesn't realize. While people gambled his clothes and mocked him, he hung there. But his concern was forgiveness for those people and for us. Not just for those present, but for us today. Oh, this is such good news. This is such good news. This is the good news that never gets old. I'm 53. I've been a Christian since I was 16, and this is the best news, and it gets better all the time. The more that I think about it, as someone who is a follower of Christ and wants to live their life to be a witness around everybody, every single day of my life is a Good Friday. Every day is a Good Friday. Tomorrow is Good Monday. Because Jesus paid the price for our sins on the cross. And then it's Good Tuesday, the next day. What a day that is, because we're reminded through Jesus that a new life has begun for each of us. 2 Corinthians, this means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone and a new life has come. And then it's Good Wednesday, right? And wow, because we accepted his offer of forgiveness for our sins, we no longer need to live a life that is weighed down by guilt and shame, because Romans tells us, so now there is no condemnation for those who belong to Christ Jesus. And then you know what's coming next, right? It's Good Thursday. Our past has been transformed, Galatians 2:20 tells us. My old self has been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. So I live in this earthly body by trusting in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. And now it's Good Friday. And now our present is being transformed into the image of Christ. He is reshaping our hearts and our minds every day as we spend time with him. 2 Corinthians 3:18 says, we are being transformed into his image with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. What does Saturday bring for us? Good Saturday, it brings that Jesus transforms our future. He was thinking about us when he was on that cross. He, at that time, when he was crucified, not just for those people around him, but he was thinking about each of us. And Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2 says, because of the joy awaiting him, he endured the cross, disregarding its shame. Now he is seated in the place of honor beside God's throne. What was the joy that was before Jesus? The joy was eternity for him with the Father, but it was also the joy of eternity for us to also be with the Father. The joy, it was us. He endured what he did for us. He thought about us right at that time. Do you know, heaven is not for good people. Heaven is for forgiven people. Right? Jesus, he transforms our past, he transforms our present, and he transforms our future. He reshapes who we are and what is ahead for us, because then there's Resurrection Sunday. He didn't stay dead and buried. It says in 1 Corinthians 15, Christ died for our sins. He was buried. He was raised on the third day according to the scriptures. Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection distinguishes Christianity from all other religious systems. Resurrection Sunday is not just an historical event. It is the cornerstone of our faith. It's the assurance of that victory that Jesus won for each and every one of us over sin and over death. This is our witness today, that through Jesus' death, through his burial, through his resurrection, our past is transformed, our present is transformed, and our future is transformed. I'll just ask the team to come. We've seen the problem of sin that separates us from God. We've also seen the solution, which is Jesus. And tonight, actually, we're about to see people who are getting water baptized. We're about to see people who have made a response to what they know and what they've heard about Jesus. Colossians 2:12 says, "For you were buried with Christ when you were baptized. And with him you were raised to new life because you trusted the mighty power of God who raised Christ from the dead." I'm just going to ask everybody to stand up. And I've got one question for you to ponder. How will you respond? How will you respond? Jesus, we thank you that you are here with us. Oh, that your love was demonstrated so beautifully, so incredibly, so perfectly for each and every one of us. It was demonstrated through the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And I pray today, God, that for each of us, regardless of where we're at, that you would reveal to us how important that is. You would reveal to us how it transforms our past, our present, and our future. And we thank you for that today, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.